Thank you for joining us today. This is Liz Franzel with Crawford Media Group in Denver. And today our guest is Dr. Nicole Avena, author of her new book called Sugarless. And we'll be talking about how detrimental sugar is to our health and what we can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Welcome to our program, Dr. Avena.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here.
Dr. Avena, would you please tell us your findings that sugar is an addiction and not just a craving?
Well, it's an interesting story. When I first got interested in this topic, I was a graduate student at Princeton. This is going back about 20 years ago. And one of the things that I was discussing with my advisor was what would I work on for my dissertation, this big, massive project that I was supposed to do for a couple of years. And at the time, a lot of the media and the public health information around obesity had been focused on this idea that obesity was because of a moral failing or because people just didn't have willpower. And I started to wonder, you know, maybe there's more to it. Maybe there's something about the foods that people are eating in our modern food environment that could be leading people to be addicted to them, could be causing people to become overweight because people just get hooked on them.
Right.
And so this sort of set me down this path of doing research, looking at, you know, can sugar be addictive? And so flash forward to 20 years later, we've amassed a significant number of research studies that have shown that sugar meets the criteria as an addictive substance. And also, it's not just a craving. For many people, it can cause us to get into this spiral of distress where, you know, you really just can't eat it in moderation. It becomes very difficult to regulate.
Is that from a physiological standpoint or mental?
Well, it's a little bit of both. So physiologically, we see changes in the brain that occur when sugar is consumed. Sugar can release dopamine, which is one of those neurochemicals that's associated with reward and pleasure, in a way that's similar to what happens when someone uses drugs or alcohol. So the pleasure that people get when they eat sugar can very much be like a high that people get if they use drugs. And it is interesting because, you know, we have this biological response that happens when we eat sugar, but layered on that, we also have this psychological aspect to it where, you know, sugar is normalized. It's, you know, something that we give to our children. We hand it out in the holidays and at Halloween, and it's something that has become very pervasive in our society. You know, it's a way of showing love. You love somebody, you give them a birthday cake, right?
Right.
And so it's really become a complicated matter for many because, you know, we know that the sugar is bad for our health, yet culturally we still promote it and use it as a way to express affection. So this is where we're, you know, kind of at odds with each other.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering, though, because you mentioned alcohol use and eating sugar. So I'm not one that tends to eat sugar, but if I do, I'm able to, okay, one bite is enough. But some people can't control that. It seems like once they have one bite, they have to keep going and going. Same with alcohol. One drink is enough. Let's keep going and going. Or even drugs. Is that so? Each person is different. How can you explain the craving in one and the control in another?
Yeah, it's really interesting. There's been some studies that have been conducted looking at the genetic aspects of that. And so it turns out that there are certain genes that people have that are prone to addiction. And it's not surprising because if you look at individuals who struggle with addiction, let's say to alcohol, for example, often individuals who maybe are able to get their addiction to alcohol under control end up gaining a lot of weight. And that's because they end up transferring the addiction to food and they end up overeating in place of over consuming alcohol. And so this addiction gene is something that I think is really interesting and can in part explain, you know, why some people seem to be more at risk for developing an addiction to food than others. But I also think it's important to understand that we're really all at risk for developing this because sugar is in so many of the foods that we eat. It's hidden in many of the foods that we eat. You know, you can imagine what the world would look like if alcohol was hidden in foods the way sugar is hidden in foods. I mean, if you're struggling with your alcohol intake and wanting to avoid it, you can, right? You don't go to the bars. You don't go to restaurants to serve it. You stay away from the liquor store. But imagine if it was hidden in the bagel that you were eating or in the barbecue sauce that you were, you know, using to cook. I mean, it's really something that when it comes to sugar, even when you're trying to avoid it, it is extremely difficult because of its pervasiveness and because of the fact that it's in so many foods, often unbeknownst to us.
That's so true. We're visiting with Dr. Nicole Avena, author of a new book called Sugarless, and we're talking about how sugar is an addiction and not just a craving. Tell us more, Dr. Avena, how we can live a sugar-free lifestyle in a world that is filled with sugar, because, like you just said, sugar is hidden in so many foods. What are some things that we could look for that, you know, definitely we all want to be sure to read labels, but what are some things that we could look for that are the hidden sugars?
Well, one of the things that I really focus on in my new book, Sugarless, is helping people to recognize where sugars are. And so I have a list of all the different names of added sugars that are out there, because it's not just sugar. It's things like, you know, pure cane sugar, or, you know, organic rice syrup, or, you know, something like tapioca syrup. There's lots of different names for sugar, so it's important to familiarize yourself with them so that when you look at a package, you can see whether or not it contains added sugar. And I will often tell people that one of the main things that you can really do to get this started and to really start to get control over your sugar intake is to start with your beverages, because beverages are a huge source of added sugar for many people. And so this really means taking stock of what you typically drink. If you're drinking sodas, you want to try to transition off of the soda onto something healthier. One of the things I tell people is to think about how you enjoy the beverage. If you enjoy a can of soda because of the bubbles or the caffeine, then think about, you know, all right, maybe I could have carbonated water instead, or mineral water, or maybe I could just have a cup of coffee instead to get that caffeine. Mm-hmm. And so it's really about replacing what you like, not depriving yourself, but replacing it with something that's just a little bit healthier, so that eventually you can make a lot of these small changes that are going to lead up to big results over time.
I like how you say that. I was reading some of the excerpts of in your book, how you are not a cold turkey advocate, that, and even as you mentioned just now, to kind of wean yourself off, because that's such a problem with people, that even mentally, if they're thinking, oh, I got to cut it all out right now, that almost gives them a drive to, or a hard time to do that and almost do more.
Right. And I think that, you know, it's difficult because typically when you hear about addiction, you think, oh my gosh, you have to go cold turkey, right? Mm-hmm. You would never tell somebody, oh, just have a little less cocaine. You would
right.
say you have to stop completely.
Right.
But sugar's different. It's very different. And I think that a lot of people have already tried cold turkey and it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And it sets people up for failure. And
right.
it, I think, helps in more of a practical way if you take a sustained approach to making changes that are going to stick. And, you know, not just doing something for 30 days, or, you know, not just doing something so that you can lose 10 pounds. It's about increasing your health and your longevity and making these changes that you're going to want to keep making, because they're going to be making you feel better in the long run.
Right. That's so true. We've been visiting with Dr. Nicole Avena, author of her new book called Sugarless, and we've been talking about how detrimental sugar is to our health and how sugar is hidden in so many things that we consume without even knowing it. Dr. Avena, would you tell us more how our listeners can find out more about you? Do you have a website? And also, we want to make sure that they're able to get a hold of your book, and how can they do that?
Yes, so the book Sugarless is out in stores. It's available wherever books are sold. You can also find it on Amazon or BarnesandNobles.com. And if you want to learn more about me and the other books that I've written and the work that we're doing, you can check out my website, which is DrNicoleAvena.com. And you can also find me on social media at Dr. Nicole Avena.
We want to thank you so much for your time here. You're a wealth of information. I know we barely scratched the surface in this interview, so I encourage all of our listeners to definitely get her book and go to her website, find out more, because it is it is so informational, her findings about sugar. So Dr. Avina, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much.